Good morning, and to the saints of the Most High God, we greet you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and to the workings of the Holy Ghost. We send this radio broadcast around the world. We thank God Almighty for the opportunity to be here, and I was contemplating how good God is that His Word is going around the world. We're thanking God for all of the countries and places that are tuning in, not only to this broadcast by this radio station, but at our podcast at theapostolicfaith.org. It's amazing to see that they are finding it in many remote places throughout the world. But I thank God always for how the preaching of the gospel can also work if you come from under the shadows of doubt. If you believe that there is a God and that Jesus Christ is He, then you need to come from under the shadows of doubt and believe everything that is written in the Word of God. We thank God for His many blessings to the church as He is adding such that should be saved. And I'm here today to testify that God is real. And in looking at God, I'm able to see Him because they that are of God have seen God. And I believe that the workings of the Holy Ghost is in everyone's life who wants it and who comes from under the shadow of doubt. I'm thanking God from my travels that has brought me here today, but I thank Him for the success that I've had in my travels in Texas, that a small place called Lufkin, whoever heard of it, unless you're from there, but we thank God that a soul from Lufkin, Texas, have heard the truth in its fullness and had a desire to be saved that came all the way in. And is that soul that have me rejoicing today that it came from under the shadows of doubt and came under the shadows of the Lord's wings and under the shadows of the Almighty. They have now hope in God that He will cover them. And I'm so thankful to hear the testimonies of how the gospel got to Lufkin, Texas, and has now grabbed a soul and will hold that soul for eternity. I'm so thankful that it's my work, that as we speak the words of God, somebody who wants to save themselves, who has a desire to say, if I have to go by myself, I will go by myself. Because this soul was able, by the word of God, to see that the person that had control or dominion over them, saying that they were the man of God, she looked at their works, and she found the prophet Isaiah that said, this head is sick, and this head has no soundness. And she wants to be saved. So she came into the body of Christ where this head is not sick and this head has soundness in God. So I'm thankful to God to testify that I found some sand and I found some land in Lufkin, Texas. And I'm so grateful to this radio station, because there are many throughout the country now listening at this radio station. And when we look at the reports from this station and from our podcast, it is touching every country but a few. And many states but I think the state of Utah. But we'll hit Utah soon. So we're thankful that the saints who are making this possible and making a sacrifice for us to be on this station and to supply the podcast at theapostolicfaith.com or .org to make it possible for all men to hear the gospel preached in its fullness. So we welcome you to the broadcast of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that is being broadcast throughout the world of how you must then come into the truth of the gospel. Many people know of the word, and many people are now hiding under the shadows of doubt. And you cannot hide there, because if you are doubtful about the thing, I can't see how God is going to get to you. But if you walk by faith and come from under the shadows of doubt, then you will be able to save yourself from this untoward generation. I thank God for all of them that are listening to the broadcast and finding hope in our speech that we were talking to you on last first day about your preparation to land. If you are in preparation to meet the Lord, you had better get ready to meet the Lord. And as a plane, as I was telling you before, tell you in preparation for landing, they make one more walkthrough to make sure everything is prepared. This gospel is going out to make sure you are prepared to meet the Lord. And as we then preach the entrance to the kingdom, as Peter preached in his first book, that this entrance to the kingdom must be preached to you of how to get into the kingdom. So it will dwell in you, and you will come from under the shadows of doubt. Sometimes I think in the old days we used to say, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe. And I have been thinking about those words, without a shadow of a doubt. That means you are not hiding under a shadow of something being cast on you. There's light somewhere, but you are not in the light. You are hiding under the shadows that doubt is casting, because it got between you and the light. If you walk from under the shadows, you will probably hit the light of the word. And this is what the soul did in Lufkin, Texas. When they wanted to be saved, they asked, "Brother, what should I do to be saved?" And at a moment, she said, "I want to walk with this church," because she had been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So she had taken off the old man and had put on the new man. And she had the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave her utterance. So then she was able to hear the word, know it, and said, "I'm going to walk with the whole truth." And I thank God we then fellowshipped her in, not by the right hands of fellowship. That was Peter and Paul bringing in the Gentiles with the Jewish church to make it all one. But she was in the church when she obeyed how to get in. As Nicodemus was told, you have to be baptized in water and you have to be baptized in the Spirit. She had those, so she was already in the church. So it was just a matter of her finding the forgiveness from God from the walk before, that we can then give her an inheritance among all of them that are sanctified. And we are waiting to do the same for you. If you want to walk in truth, we are here to have you come and give up the old and walk in the new. This is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives me much joy to say that this is the church. And I thank God when people ask me, what is the name of the church? I can still give them the name of God. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the national and international convention there in Dallas, I had great joy in giving the church more angels food, in that I was able to show them through the workings of the Spirit the difference in the writings of the apostles when they write Jesus Christ versus Christ Jesus. There's a difference when the man of God was getting you to see one thing was a fleshly sacrifice. One thing was the word being made flesh. And when the apostles began to talk concerning who they were witness for, they would always write that they are an apostle of Jesus Christ, that they are spreading the word that was given by Jesus Christ, the word that was established by Jesus Christ, the church that was established by Jesus Christ. But when it came then to the apostle Paul especially, he began to make the difference in writing Christ Jesus. When he began to talk about the resurrection to life, when he began to talk about the overcoming of death, that Christ was raised from the dead, he began to talk about the resurrected Christ. And this what began his writings to say Christ Jesus. I wasn't there to walk with him, to eat with him, and to talk with him when he walked in flesh and blood as Jesus Christ. But I am a witness to tell you I know Christ Jesus. And this is the joy that I get to tell you I know Christ. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when he began to write this way, he's giving you a clue to a mystery. And it is that mystery that was open to the church. And when I tell you we had joy unspeakable at the knowledge of this mystery being open to the church to consider, not just reading over the words and think they don't mean anything. They have a meaning from writing Jesus Christ and then writing Christ Jesus. In my thinking, and I wondered why it was Paul that really wrote it many, many times. And I considered, did Peter ever write it? And he did. When he was giving his benediction in his first book, he began to write to this resurrected power. And he said, Christ Jesus as well. But when you began to read the scripture and you began now to take note, when he writes of the sacrifice, he would tell you Jesus Christ. That was the one that was born of a woman, but it was still God Almighty. But when he writes to you concerning the resurrection, he talks about the church. And then he asks you what can then separate you from the love of Christ. And it is this Christ that he's telling you that nothing should then separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's this knowledge that the man of God is giving the church a clue to the mystery of something that now is, that never was before. And that was a way over death. The way over death was the reason that the child was born. The reason the child was given, and he put all the governments upon his shoulder and gave us all the power that was in the name, because there is no other name given whereby men must be saved other than that name. But Paul is writing to tell you a clue to a mystery that I am opening up for you to understand when you see him write Christ Jesus. He doesn't want you to be separated from the power of the resurrection. And this is the power that the gospel have once you believe it. And this soul that came from under the shadows of doubt and under the shadows of death, this is the reason the gospel come to turn you from the power of Satan to God. And when you get into the power of God and you get into the power of the Holy Ghost, it is this mystery that he said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. And to understand what that power is the mystery to the church that is now being opened to you to understand, to give you joy in your heart, to give you the peace in your mind, to understand whatever I come across in the corners or dark crevices of my mind, I have the power of Christ that is able to resurrect me from it, or deliver me from it, or save me from it, or redeem me from it. It is the power of Christ. And that power that the scriptures is talking about, that the Holy Ghost give you, is the power to the resurrection. This is the mystery to understand, that the power to the resurrection is the power the Holy Ghost give you. It is this quickening power that once you hear yourself speaking in an unknown tongue, that is your sign that this power to the resurrection is coming to live in you. And Christ, that was resurrected from the dead by this power, should also quicken your mortal body and change you from mortal to immortality. And death now will have no more sting or power over you, because the power to the resurrection that the Holy Ghost is letting you know of assurance that you have it is this resurrection to life everlasting. And to open this mystery for the church, as I walk through to prepare them for the resurrection to life, I began to prophesy to their bones to make them believe that this gospel that I have for you will deliver you. You have no power to stop what I have in my tongue for you. Because if you believe it without a shadow of a doubt, my words shall quicken your mortal bodies by the power that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Christ is the one that gave me this gospel. He gave me the words of Jesus Christ to quicken you by Christ Jesus, this same God that put on a body and took on mortal to bring it to immortality, is the one that told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here he was telling Peter of the mystery of the resurrected Christ, where that would speak to a man that was not there to walk with him, wasn't there to eat with him, and to put his hands there with him. But he came in due time that he spoke to him by his spirit. And I'm so thankful to God that if you can understand my speech today, that the joy that is in my soul to understand, I understand this mystery of the writings of the man of God. When he tells the church of the resurrection power in Christ Jesus, that when he spoke to this man Saul and he opened his mind and he asked the question of, who art thou, Lord? And there is but one Lord. This Lord said, I am Jesus who you persecute. After his resurrection, he gave Saul his name, but he quickened him by the power of Christ to understand who he was. And he changed his heart. He changed his mind. He sent him then to the Gentiles to be the apostle to us. And he asked then, what can separate us now from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord? And I'm so thankful that we understand the writings, that we get a joy to understand nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ? He said, I can do all things. I do it through Christ. And I'm so glad that the church has this understanding. And it was such a joy to tell the church this great news that when you look at the Gentiles who did not know God, we had idols. We believed in so many other things. But when Cornelius prayed and he asked for the salvation to the soul, the angel came and told him to send for Peter. And when Peter then was given the direction to go, because when Jesus Christ walked, Peter was given the instructions not to come to the Gentiles. They could only go to the lost tribes of Israel, if you remember. But I'm so thankful that now it opened to us by the resurrected God, the God that had taken and got control and power over that last enemy, death. You have to understand it was God's desire to save us. And he had to get a body to do it. He had to get a body from the womb of the woman to correct what was prophesied in the Garden of Eden at the cursing of the flesh of the woman. I had to understand that it was needful for him then to put on a body to get the victory over death. And that's why he said, I'll send you the Holy Ghost. And once it come upon you, you shall have power. And the power he wants you to understand is not that you have power over the enemy, not that you have power over serpents and other things. He said, but know this, that your name is written. And once you understand that you can say of an assurance that my name is written, and when the seals was broken by the Lamb, who was only able to then open the seals of the book, he let you go in and see that your name is there. That comes with joy. That comes with so much peace and understanding that you would then, by your faith, understand that the tribulations that you have is working the patience that's giving you the experience in God. And once you have a tongue that can utter heavenly things, you're going to have tribulations on every side. But it's working the patience of God, and it's giving you the experience. So you will have your wounds, and you will have whatever it is that you're going to bear on this coast, but get the victory crossing over. So don't think it's awful thing that you have trials in the flesh, and you have temptations in the flesh, and you have all of these tribulations in the flesh. It's working in an experience. So you can say, I know him. And especially when it works with the womb of who you are, that thing that bears fruit, that thing that hold the knowledge, it's in the belly that you know God. It's in your mind that you know God. And it's in your spirit, deep in your soul, that in your sleep you can talk to God. In your visions you can see God. It's just this knowledge. Don't you look at and faint at the tribulation. It's there to work the patience. Is there to give you the experience. Is there to work your faith and put it on trial. It's this joy in Christ that you know God, that he's talking by you, with you, among you. And it is this joy that it gives me so much. It gives me the joy to tell you to continue and don't faint at anything when you have a hold to Christ Jesus your Lord. You have a hold to the Redeemer. You have a hold to his anointed one. Said, I can touch him. And if I can get him, I can get his garments. I can get something that can hold me and give me the virtue of God. And when you get in Christ, you have all of these avenues that you can stay with God. See, a false temple doesn't have this knowledge. False teachings don't have this truth. My job is to give you the truth of the gospel. I'm to walk through and settle your hearts and mind that when you land, you're going to land on that shore that have milk and honey and the flowings of God, that have the golden road that you're hearing about. It has the crystal river that you heard so much about. I'm here to walk through to make sure that you are safe and you get back to God, because you came from him and you're going back to God. My job is to find you, even if you're in the crevices of this country, in a small town named Lufkin, Texas. Be of this assurance that God found you and he delivered you from all evil, and he put you in his company, and he gave you now the joy of this resurrection, that I walked through and gave you this assurance that you are going to meet the Lord in peace. My job is to prophesy to your bones. I am here to tell you, you shall live again if you obey this gospel. As the Holy Ghost tells you, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets, all of them that spoke aforetime, to tell you about the mystery in God. As he opens it now for you, let your mind completely understand that you are in the light of the word. You are not under the shadows of death anymore, because Christ Jesus has come and given you the power of the resurrection. This is the reason for the gospel. This is the reason for the Lord's anointed, not to prophesy to you concerning houses and lands and these issues, but to give you the power of life to the resurrection of your soul. This is the reason Ezekiel could look at dry bones and tell them they shall live again. No matter how long you are in the ground, I have prophesied to you that you shall live again. And that's why I'm so thankful that this broadcast is reaching around the world, and it is going so all men will know I need to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, because that is the word of God that was put in flesh and the name that was given to that body. And everything was established in that name. And he said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And once that power then comes upon you, he gives you then the power to the resurrection, to be like he is now. And what he is now is the resurrected power that went from mortal to immortality. This is why the entrance to the kingdom gets preached to you, that if you follow it, you will go from mortal to immortality, as Jesus Christ went from mortal to Christ Jesus, the resurrected God that now has the body, which is the church, which is who you are now. And he said, you are, lo, you are with me, and we shall be with him forever. So it is the mystery of the word of God that I am just so overcome, and I pray you understand my speech, because my mind is moving so quickly through the pages of the book, and I'm settling at points only for seconds to try to give you, to tie things together for you to understand. This is why you must be baptized in his name. You cannot be baptized in the titles that he had. You must come by the name that he had. You must come by the name that suffice for when he said, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I was so thankful that in my travels while I was in Dallas, there was a knock upon my door, and I wondered who could it be that was knocking. And I answered the door, and there were Jehovah Witnesses at the door. And oh, I tell you often how I enjoy inviting them in. And I did. And we began to talk. And the woman began to say of me, she said, "You have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God." And I said, "I have a little." But they were trying to express to me that Jehovah was the Almighty and Jesus Christ was the Mighty. And I told her, could I open her book to prove to her that Jesus Christ in her book said he was the Almighty? She said, "No, no, no. Jehovah is the Almighty and Jesus is the Mighty." And I took her book and I went to Revelations, the first chapter, and I took her to the 8th verse first and then to the 18th verse in her book. And as she began to read, and she began to see that he said, "I am he that was, and I am he that is alive now forevermore." And he said, "He's the Almighty," in the 8th and the 18th verse of first chapter of Revelation. And she said, "I understand in the 8th verse, that is Jehovah talking." So I said, when was Jehovah was, that he could say, "I was," when he was dead? When did Jehovah die? And she said, "Jehovah never died." I said, "Well, here he's saying he was dead." And I said, "He was dead when he put on a body, when he was in that body called Christ, Jesus, our Lord." And she got puzzled. She said, it's not feasible in my mind for me to make them one, because Jehovah is God and Jesus Christ is his son. No. I said, "Well, then let's look at Matthew 28:19. She said, "Yes, those are three titles for that was Father is Jehovah, the Son was Jesus, and the Holy Ghost," she said, "is his active force." So I said, "Well, let's see what one of the men of God did when he was given these instructions." And Peter was there when Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and baptize in this name." And she said, "Those are the names, the name that is written." I said, "Let's see what name Paul and Peter used." So as we went to Acts 2:38, and she began to read, and he said, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ," the woman got puzzled. I said, "Did not the man of God obey Christ and substituted the name Jesus Christ for the Father, for the Son, and the Holy Ghost?" And her mind went back to what she was taught. She could not even come to the conclusion that Peter substituted the name for the three titles. So I took her back to Revelation to say, here is Jehovah saying he was dead and now alive forevermore. So she invited me to their services there in Dallas. And I told her I would be there. And when I went, the speaker began to say, "It is crazy for anyone to think that Jehovah and Jesus are the same, because if Jesus died, he said, who raised him?" And they began to snickle and laugh because he said, it's not possible that Jesus raised himself. And so many scriptures came to my mind, and I desired to raise my hand to say something, but I said I better keep it quiet. But he said no one had power to take his life. He laid it down himself. And as the service was about to end, I went to the back, and the woman that invited me, she came. And again, we began to talk. And during the speech, they were talking about how you have to reject them that don't bring the witness view of things. So I told her, I understand how you rejected what I said. Because before they left, the man that was with them came looking for them. And he found them at my door when he knocked. And the woman told him, she said, can you look at Revelation 1:8 and 1:18? Because she said, that's Jehovah talking. But he's talking as though he's Jesus Christ. And he's saying, Jesus here is the Almighty. So the man read it. He closed the book immediately and rejected and said, let's go. But after their services, she promised that she would take a look at it and study it and get back to me. But as I have talked about many times on this broadcast, that for 20 years here in Jacksonville or more, I have given the same scripture to the local Jehovah's Witnesses, and they haven't gotten back to me to this day. And as I returned here, I went back to a young lady that I know to be a Jehovah's Witness, and I testified to her of what happened in Dallas. And she's promising still that she's going to get the brothers or the elders or someone else to come and talk with me about this issue. And I still haven't heard yet for them to clarify, because I can prove that this Jesus was God and he is God and always will be God. That he put on a body, died, so he could resurrect the body and give us the power to the resurrection. This is the mystery of God. And in 1 John, when John was telling you, he's giving you the record of the one God. He's a Father, he is a Word, and he's a Spirit. And this one God has a name, Jesus. And it's the working power of Christ that now works in the church. And I'm able, by the Word of God, to walk through and give you this preparation to land and meet the Lord in peace. Because there is but one God, and you must be baptized in his name. That is the entrance into the kingdom of God. You cannot serve God in the shadows and think you're serving him without obeying him. You have to have the name. And it's this name. That's why he said, what can separate you from the love of God? What can separate you from Christ Jesus? You must have the baptism in his name. He said, those who are baptized in Jesus are baptized unto his death. And that baptism is in his name. How can you then take on his death if you don't take on the name of the one that died? You must follow the one that died. You must take on the name of the one that died and resurrected. And the one that walked again, he said, I am Jesus. When he began after the resurrection, he began to walk again. He began to talk to them again. He began to do his work again. And when he broke the bread, they knew it was Jesus. But it is now the resurrected God that came out of the ground and got the victory for death, over death, so we could do it now. Now he could get in us. This was a desire of God when man fell in the garden, that he had to remove the enmity first before he could get in us. And now that he is in us, he can walk with us. He can talk with us. He can change our stony hearts and give us a fleshly heart so we can hear him, so we can obey him. And back to my point at Saul, when he gave him the gospel, but Peter is the one that had to establish it for us because he was the chief apostle. So we not knowing him, when he came to Cornelius' house with the Gentiles, we got the Holy Ghost first. And this is the joy of what I was giving them in the National Convention, that the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost first because we didn't know him. We didn't know God. But he flooded us out with the Holy Ghost. Then we got the power first to know who Christ was, because it was after his death. It was after he had given us the victory. He gave us the power then to the resurrection of life. And then Peter said, who can now forbid water that these should not be baptized? And here again, he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is the name of the one that died. There is the name of the one that rose. It's the same God. There's only one Lord, and that Lord is God. That's why you get that. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. So when the Gentiles, now this is our day, he grafted us in. He fulfilled the law for our Jewish counterparts. And then he grafted us all the way back to our father, Abraham, to fulfill a promise. And it is this mystery of the resurrected Christ that is now working in our mortal bodies that gives us this power to live again just like he is now. I don't know how else to give you the power of this gospel to ask you come walk with this truth. And I testify to you that if you have a willing heart, you'll obey the word. You'll be baptized in his name. You won't let anybody take you in the water and say, I therefore baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and don't do it. Because they're saying they're going to do it, and they're not doing it. You want them to do it. And we do it. So when we say, I therefore baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you get the power to the resurrection because you take on his death by the name having the power that it make you rise in the newness of life. And once you come out of the water, the person that's baptizing you will give you a promise that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this gift that you will get is the resurrection to life everlasting. It's the quickening power. Don't let something so simple pass you by and you stand under the shadows of doubt and don't believe my words. Come to the light. Walk from under the shadows of what you think you know and try my words. Try God's words. Try Christ's words. And I guarantee you it'll work for you. It was such a marvelous display of the power of God at this knowledge. Because there are some who speak now and say that tongues have ceased. And we dealt with that at the convention. If tongues have ceased, what are you listening to? Because you're hearing a tongue. So if I stop talking, my tongue will cease. But the speaking in tongues have not ceased. That which is perfect when he comes won't be any need for speech or tongues, because we have our minds and we'll be just like him. God existed before he opened his mouth and spoke with a tongue to say, let there be light. He was God. He had thoughts. And we're going to be like that when we get with him. Tongues will cease and prophecies will fail. But the prophetic things haven't failed yet because he hasn't come yet. But the prophecy is he will come. And when he comes, he's coming for his church. He's prophesied that he would. So those things haven't ceased yet. So when people come into the service, they didn't understand why the saints speaking in tongues in prayer. Well, somebody's spirit is praying. What's wrong with you? You say that you are of God. You should not be an unbeliever to understand that that spirit is praying. But I thank God that at the touching of our frame, you can speak, because that is the power that is in this office that I hold. And this office, this bishopric that God has given me, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ because I have his words. And I am a worker of Christ Jesus, my Lord, my Redeemer, to give everybody that want to live again and come out of their box, because you're going to the grave. Every soul is going to hell. The thing is, will you be delivered? Will you go to your box holy? Will you go to the box with this blessed assurance that you shall live again? That's the reason for the gospel. And this is the reason we preach. This is the reason I labor, going from place to place. Not weary yet, but I thank God that he's given me the strength to continue until this very day. And he has me here today, here in Jacksonville, to spread this same gospel, that when I'm wherever, I can spread this same gospel. I thank God for the invitations of many souls who went out and have established other things that were not of God, that they are now saying, we want to hear you preach, Bishop Patterson. Can you come to New York? Can you come to Virginia? Can you come here? Can you come there? Yes, ask and I'll come. When souls ask, can you come to this place, I stop what I'm doing and I go. Even if it's for one soul, I'll go. I thank God that he's given me this heart and given me this might to accomplish his will, because it is required that the man of God do the work and prophesy to the bones of the world. If you want to live again, you need this gospel. If you want to abide in Christ, you need these words. And I thank God that many are reconciling their lives and understanding that we left the truth when we started something else other than what was already established. And when Bishop S.C. Johnson established the church and gave it the banner, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was no need than to have the Church of our Lord. It's just the Church of the Lord. He's our Lord and everybody's Lord. So it's no need then to put First Church. There's no Second Church. There's no need to put the original church. What you mean? There's nothing else. So it's just the church. It doesn't matter about these other frivolous things you're putting around the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful that men are considering, have I left the truth when I went out and started something else? And I'm hoping that they consider and let the power to the resurrection change their hearts. Because it is so difficult for a man, once he does something of this workings, to go out of truth. It's hard to come back if God doesn't do it. Because he said it's impossible, as he wrote in Hebrews, once you have been enlightened, to be renewed again. And this is the issue we have with our brother in Dallas, that he had the opportunity to correct his ways. And he told me by the Spirit to get the people and go to work. And when I went to do it, his mind was no longer there. And he had had a couple of strokes. And when I went to accomplish the work, it was hindered by a brother who thinks that he can continue in the work that was established in Dallas. But that work came out of the truth when the one that asked me to come left the truth and started another work. But it's just like Nebuchadnezzar and his son Belshazzar. They know the writing is on the wall, but they will not adhere to the words of truth. So when he asked me to bring the people together and go to work, I went to do it when his mind was of the knowledge to know what he was doing. But now that it is not, he can't know that what he desired in his heart and mind to get back to God, he's not able to do it. I'm reminded of one of the other brothers that left the truth in Nacogdoches, Texas. He told them from his deathbed, he got up, went to the worship service. After he had left the truth for many years, he pulled out under Bishop S. McDowell Shelton, and he told the congregation, "You all need to get up and go back to the church. Go back to the whole truth. Go back to Bishop Shelton." He said, "I'm going to go back." And he said, "If I've got to kiss his feet, I'm going back." And he went home and died. Whether he made it back or not, I don't know. But he had a heart to get back. But I don't know what God did, whether he repented to Bishop Shelton and made it back or not. But I weep for the brother when he had a mind to get back. I don't know whether or not now he can, because his mind is not there to do it. But when the other young brother who thinks that he can continue that work, he's going to have the same fate as the one he calls his father in the gospel, because Nebuchadnezzar's son had the same fate as he did. But if they would listen to me, I could save them all. I can save them all from the death by giving them this gospel, this resurrecting power. Because once you ask for forgiveness, God has the power then to forgive you. And he won't remember it anymore. And this is the thing, that the water baptism washes you clean. The words then sanctify you and keep you clean. It builds you up in your faith. So when you have the trials of life, you can overcome them. And as you read in the word of God, you will see where he said, "There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." The condemnation is not in the resurrected God, the one that came over death and brought the church out of hell, out of the grave, and established it in heaven, and opened that temple in heaven, and then began to let souls come into the church. The church is in heaven. Your conversation is in heaven, because that's where the Father of all is. And we won't need this mediation anymore once we are all resurrected. And that's why the gospel is coming now to tell you, are you prepared to meet the Lord? Do you have the resurrected power? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have Christ Jesus mind? Are you doing the things that will show all men that you are saved, sanctified, and doing the will of God? I'm so pleased to have had the opportunity to talk with you. I went doing some retail therapy, as I do sometimes, just to walk around and think. And as I spoke, I said a few words, and the lady looked at me. She said, "Your voice is anointed." And I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "You must be a man of God, because your voice is anointed." And I said, "Well, I can't even hide, because my voice give me away that I'm in Christ. My speech, as it gave Peter away, now gives me away. I'm walking in the light of his word, and I'm bringing this everlasting gospel to you to say, come out of the shadows of doubt. Come from under the shadows of death and find the resurrected power of God in the Holy Ghost. I'm pleading that you understand my words, that this resurrected power, what we know to be the power of the Holy Ghost, is in Christ Jesus your Lord. So when Peter and Paul began to write to you, and you now go back and read their words, read when he writes Jesus Christ versus Christ Jesus. Take note to when he says, therefore now there is no condemnation to them that are in. He didn't say Jesus Christ, but he said Christ Jesus. Know when Peter began to give you his benediction in his book, that he talks about this resurrected power. And it is at the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, as he's closing out, he said, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto this eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And it's this power and this glory of Christ that he's bringing you to, the resurrected power of God that can establish you in your troubles to make you perfect. So after you suffered a little while, make sure that your tribulations will bring about a perfection. It'll bring about this experience that God will have you work in him to know that I know Christ. I might not have been there when he was on the cross. I might have not been there to walk with him and talk with him and eat with him. But I know him after he came up out of the grave. And that's the thing to know. And I thank you that you've given me this opportunity to come into your homes, into your cars, or wherever you are, listening to this radio broadcast around the world. I'm so thankful that some are asking, how can I get this broadcast when he's talking there in Jacksonville? And they found a way on many apps and the internet to listen live. The resurrected power of God is lifted in word and in song. And I thank God that I have the opportunity to be on this station and to help broadcast that Christ is risen. And if you know the resurrected power of God, then you know God. You see God and you hear God. So this is Bishop Patterson inviting you to tune in, same channel, the same time here. So we invite you to also visit us. And again, I invite you to understand the difference in the writings between Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus, and know the power of God. Tune in again. And until then, this is Bishop Patterson saying, peace be unto you.